This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Did not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. This is Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. And for our latest gamer origins, today I welcome Captain Ruggles. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Mike. How about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. And for those that do or don't know, Captain Ruggles is actually Steve Megatron's youngest brother.
So I sure am.
Fun. Yes, you sure are. This is going to be interesting because we got Steve's story back in episode 86. Your story is going to be on episode 91, which is this episode.
Which is ironic because that is my birth year.
That was the plan, man.
Let the shenanigans begin.
That's right. The funny thing is, before I had asked you to do it, which I was going to ask you anyway, but I was like, oh, wait, okay, because we got the D&W coming out next week. Well, by the time people will hear this in the future, it'll be in the past that Deadpool and Wolverine came out. Originally, episode 91 was going to be Steve and I doing the Deadpool double feature leading up to Deadpool and Wolverine, because Deadpool debuted in 1991. So,
oh, no shit.
Yep.
I can say shit, right?
Yeah. Okay. No worries. Yeah, no, I don't worry about people's children. That's their fault if they let them listen to explicit podcasts that are tagged explicitly. That's not my
Copy
fault.
That.
Once I tag it red, anybody else, that's their own, that's their issue. I've labeled it properly, so if you can't control what your children listen to, that's your fault, not mine.
That's how I deal with my YouTube channel. Not for children.
That's right. Nope. Adult geek type conversations and stuff only. So we're here to take him through his video game playing origins and more. Did you grow up?
Oh, playing... you know it.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up playing video games, and what were some of your earliest video game memories?
I grew up playing video games at probably a really early age. I think like 3 or 4. We had this DOS computer with, it was a Pentium 286. And there was this game on there that was you typed in math coordinates, and there's like these tall buildings, and they're like two gorillas, like King Kong.
Rampage.
And they would throw bananas.
Rampage, yep.
That was Rampage?
I think it was. I could be wrong, people in the audience, but all I remember is two. I don't remember the math part of it because math is evil and math just no. Well,
it was like angles. You type in a number and like 90 degrees, well, and it would throw a banana.
Yep.
And then it would blow up part of the building. The object was to blow up the other building that the other gorilla was sitting on.
Right, yeah. I think that was Rampage. I'm probably wrong, but that's what it reminds me of, just hearing you talk about it.
And I think after that, we had the 46, Pentium 46. And so I started on PC. Most people start on console. I've always been a PC boy. We had a 46, Pentium 486, and my dad got from the school. And I think at 5 years old, when I started kindergarten, that's when I started to learn how to build computers, because I used to mess with the extra computers in the junk room and kind of like build one from scratch from the parts that they had.
There you go.
But I used to play Commander Keen, Doom, and then later Duke Nukem. So I mainly started with like first and third person shooters, I would guess.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. So as a kid, what was your number one favorite video game?
I have to say my namesake, Army Men 2. Army Men 2 by 3DO was my favorite. I would play Skirmish all the time on that and do co-op LAN with my brother.
Yeah.
And we would always, it was random. we didn't realize that you could go into the game files and change the names of the plastic soldiers that dropped in, as long as, and you could do that as long as it was the same number of characters as the original named, you know, soldier.
Right.
And there used to be, so where I got Ruggles from was from this game. It was S. Ruggles was one of the plastic army men in the game. And I always ended up getting this particular one. And I just said, oh, well, this one's going to be my favorite one. So I'm going to command this one all over the map and destroy the tan army. And come to find out later after I decided, well, I'm going to use this in my fictional novel and all this other stuff, and then use it as an online game name, Seth Ruggles. The guy's name's actually Scott Ruggles, and he's a artist for 3DO, or was. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. That would be my favorite. Very cool. I miss that game.
What are some other video games you like? Do you have a favorite video game genre type?
Oh, I'd have to say my most favorite type was, there's a kind of a tie between strategy and first person shooter.
Cool.
Those are my favorite genres. Those two.
Yeah. That first person shooter stuff, that's always really fun. Cause it
back feels, in the day was the good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it makes you feel like you're in the game, like you are the character, even though you're playing as whatever character it is. Like, I'm in the middle of, by the time people hear this, hopefully it'll be published, but I'm in the middle of writing up this. I don't remember if you're on Instagram or not. If you are, you are. If you're not, you're not. Doesn't matter. But on Instagram, they'll do these things where it's like, 6 images to blah, 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 and insert whatever here. One of them was 6 video games to know me by. So I did that, and I was like, oh, okay, I can pick these 6, because these are the ones that mean the most to me. And one of them was Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. And in Sons of Liberty, they added the first-person shooter mode. It was not in the original MGS1 from 98. And, man, ever since I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, first-person shooters are where it's at. Unless it's Need for Speed. First-person shooters are where it's at.
Oh, yeah. First-person shooters have always been my soft point until recently, because the industry's completely destroyed them with monetization and all other bunch of other crap.
Yep. And now we're just a bunch of zomboids.
Yep. flying around in space.
Yep. Flying around in space. That's right. How did your gaming habits change as you grew up and throughout your life?
Well, I went outside a lot and touched a lot of grass when I was younger. Uh-huh. I was always an outdoorsy type of kid. I only did like maybe 2 hours a day, if that, on electronics in general.
Okay.
So my gaming was limited up until I was hit about, I think, 12. Because I used to play like an hour of Game Boy, you know, Pokemon. Everybody played Pokemon. I can't name one person who hasn't played Pokemon.
Right here, because I'm classic. Super Mario Land, Tetris, I'm older, damn it.
Jesus. Oh, God. Well, let me rephrase it. In my generation.
Yeah, exactly. Your generation. Yeah.
You're the generation before me.
Yeah, I know.
As they say.
You're so old.
Get off my lawn, damn whippersnapper.
Get off my lawn. Well, when I was 12, I was mainly playing strategy games when I was 12. My grandfather invited me over one time. He lived like 3 houses down at the time. And he says, hey, I want you to see my cool gaming setup. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, look right here. He has this little fancy computer and shit. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. He says, man, this game right here, I tell you what, this is awesome. This is something else. You know, this is just darn good toot. And I'm like, all right, grandpa, what is it? This is called Call of Duty. And I'm like, huh. So this is like 2003.
Yep.
I'm like, all right. Call of Duty. All right. Well, all right. So he had me play it. And I'm like, oh man, this is great. I had so much fun on that. He bought me a copy of the game and sent it home with me. And then he also gave me Battlefield 1942, which that got me into Battlefield.
Yep.
So I used to, that was back when CD keys were not so
easily attainable. Yeah.
Strict.
Yeah.
So they didn't quite verify anybody's CD keys at the time. So I installed it on my dad's computer, my brother's computer, and then all four of us would get on a server and play. And then when Punk Buster came out, that kind of ruined the party.
That's right.
Like duplicate CD key detected. Kick.
Yep. Unfortunately. Oh man, the good old days of Jeez. How often do you go back and replay any of the video games you grew up with?
It's funny you asked that. Last month, I played the original Call of Duty from 2003 and its expansion pack in an entire night. I blew right through it. And even though it's predictable and I know where all the enemies are at, you know, it's still fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's classic. And then 2 months ago, I played through Command & Conquer Generals, which was a 2005 game, probably the best Command & Conquer I've ever played. So I played through the campaign on that, enjoyed that. So I frequently go back to the older ones more so than the newer ones, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Which video games that have released when you've been an adult have you liked the most?
Ooh. Was it Battlefield Bad Company 2 I think that was right before my son was born. That one came out and I was an adult at the time. I had so much fun with Bad Company 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the best game in the entire Battlefield franchise. There wasn't really much after that. Battlefield 4 was rough, but in the end, that one was really good. I kind of slowed down and stopped buying a lot of the games after that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I found Mass Effect, I fell in love with that franchise. I'm like, I didn't play that until like 4 years after Mass Effect 3 came out. And I went back and I started with Mass Effect 2. Uh-huh. And then I played 3 and went back and played 1. and I'm like, and I played all 3 of them all over again. I'm like, man, this game is so fun. Like, this is awesome. I can't believe I missed this. That's probably the best trilogy ever made.
Very cool. Very cool. Are there any video games you hate or have been greatly disappointed by? Starfield.
I was heavily into space games and still kind of am. And in Starfield, I had a lot of hopes for because I heard all these good things about Bethesda and how they, you know, Elder Scrolls and Skyrim and shit. And I'm like, all right, cool. This is going to be awesome. I get to play it. You can't do any of the things that they promised when they were like pitching the game. I'm like, this is not a space game. This is just Fallout 4 in space. And it still is. It's disappointing. Very. I wasted my money. Never again, though.
Yes, never again. Heaven forbid we waste any money on video games.
Or I could wait like I did with Battlefield 5 and get it for $10.
Yeah. Your brother does that all the time. Steve will in his Origins, I asked him, I said, do you feel like you're missing out on anything if you don't buy any of the new games, if it's something you want to buy? He goes, no. He goes, I don't have that because I know, you know.
Yeah.
Come Christmas time, it's going to be 60% off or whatever it is. It's going to be some sort of sale. And I, like you just said, you can get it for $10 versus $60 or whatever the hell the
main MSRP.
Yeah, now they're selling them for like 120 and shit. Oh,
okay.
Jesus
Christ. The only time any video game physical copy specifically, physical copy should be $120 is if it's the gamer edition ones that they were doing, like, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, whatever it was, where it's like you go
into where it comes with all the prizes and stuff inside.
That's why you're paying the 100 and something dollar price tag, because yes, you get the game and that's fine. But you get a t-shirt, or you get this, or you get that, or you get like 70 different things for that price. Like,
Yeah, you don't get that stuff anymore. It's like,
because everything's now digital.
Yeah, and you'd get like a thick manual that came with it. That was kind of like a brief guide to the game, and all the controls were in the little booklet. You didn't have to go searching through the, you know, options and write it down to try and remember what button did what. So you had something to look at while you memorized the controls.
Exactly.
Ain't like that now. When I played, was it Jedi Survivor last year? When that came out, I was streaming that day one, and I'm like, there's no keyboard controls and it's on PC. What the hell? And then I'm like pressing random buttons on the keyboard and it's doing stuff. And I'm like, okay, so go look in the options. I'm like, there's no options for keyboard controls, but there's keyboard controls. So I don't know what's doing what. And I'm like, shit. So I busted out the old Xbox 360 controller and plugged that in. I'm like, I hate controllers. My hands get cramped up on them.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And that makes no sense. Like, if your keyboard is inputting to the game, then there must be keyboard controls.
Well, tell me you're a quick console port without telling me you're a quick console port.
Exactly. Unless. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And that's the funny thing. Most of the games that are like major, like Need for Speed stuff, or even Mass Effect, like all these games, they hit the consoles first, and then like 6 months to a year later they'll hit PC. It's probably faster now, obviously, because now we have we've had Steam for God knows how long. But like, I remember, like I said, 10-15 years ago, and even longer than that, you know, where video games would be like, it's for the consoles, the PC is for accountants. Sorry, Kai.
Well, I mean, it's... Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, for the longest time, they would always do, like you're saying, PC to console port. It used to be console to PC port, and then they stopped doing that because, like I said, now we have Steam and whatever else, and we can have all the games on Steam. We can have... There should not be a game available on a PC if it isn't able to be played on PC and there is not in the options, a keyboard control. Because, hello, not everybody is going to be able to pull out an Xbox 360 controller or a PlayStation 1 controller or whatever. And I'm just using
an
example. But like,
100%.
Not everybody's going to be able to do that. So put the damn keyboard controls in your manuals, you morons, even if your manuals are now digital.
Yeah, which... Well, it's like Halo started off on PC, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it was ported to Xbox to launch the Xbox. Yep. So it was Xbox and PC launch at the same time. Halo 2 was also Xbox and PC.
Yep.
But you go to Halo 3 and 4 and ODST and Reach. Those didn't come to PC until like 2015 with the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah,
or somewhere around there, and it was like you waited that long to bring it. Like, I refused to buy the next Xbox to play like Halo 4 and Halo 5. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna miss out on the story, I guess. And I still to this day haven't played Halo 5, but I played Halo 4 and Halo Infinite, the before and after. And it's like, Halo 5 didn't really need to happen because it was irrelevant.
And that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. I liked it when we got to the point of the advertising, got to the point of insert title here, whatever the title is, EA, Bethesda, it doesn't matter what company, whatever video game it is.
Yeah.
I remember commercials for these video games. At the end of the commercial, it would be like, sometimes it would be like coming soon, but it would be like, you can get it on PlayStation, Xbox, whichever version of it is. It doesn't matter what, just Sony, Microsoft, whatever. And then in like 3 months, you can get it on PC or something. Or we get to a point where it's like, you can now have all of these things on any of the systems that you have, whether it's console or PC. Because honestly, at the end of the day, it needs to be accessible to everybody. There's no reason why you should be... There's no reason. If it's all the same game and there aren't new things... Like, versus the console versus the PC kind of thing? Like, no. And the only thing now is character packs, DLC.
Yeah, that's which...
a whole separate thing.
I ain't gonna pay for any of that crap. I mean, young kids who steal credit cards might. Not this guy. I earned money goes for food.
That's right. Don't steal credit cards, kids, and don't do stupid stuff, please don't.
Yeah, that's dumb tomfoolery that gets you going to jail.
Yep, over a video game. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any video game? If you want to pick, you can pick a hero and a villain.
Ooh. God. That's a tough one. I'd have to say Commander Shepard, because that's my favorite store on the Citadel. Mm-hmm. That's the favorite. That's one of my favorite characters.
Yep. Okay.
As for villain, hell, I don't think I got one. I don't think I've really played a game that had a really significant villain. That's kind of sad.
Yes, folks, he's too young to remember how evil Bowser was.
You know, Mario is probably one of the few Nintendo things I've never really got into.
Really?
I played Mega Man.
Okay.
But that was Sega, I think.
No, that was Nintendo.
Nintendo as well?
Yeah. Capcom. Yep.
Capcom, yeah.
Because Mega Man started on Nintendo with Capcom and then eventually moved over to... I think it's on multiple systems now, but the last one I remember playing was... and your brother, when it went into this and his, because he's a big Mega Man X fan, but Mega Man X usually is on all the systems now, so I remember playing the original one on PlayStation or... No, the original was on Super Nintendo. That's right. Heaven forbid I get a Mega Man X thing wrong. Steve will start.
I usually played a lot of the same shit as him, except I never played StarCraft. He did.
Yeah. Who are some of your other favorite video game characters? Are there any you hate?
Every single character in Starfield, I hate.
Just
blank. They're so just blanket statement. They're all bland. They don't, you know, they don't like any bullshittery you do.
Yep. Nope.
You can't have fun.
Nope. No fun. No fun for you in the Starfield. The Starfield is a minefield, folks.
It is. Don't get it. Don't waste your money.
Don't waste your money. There's plenty of other things you can waste your money on. Starfield should not be one of them.
Correct.
Did you ever own anything based on a video game? So toys, comics, coloring books, etc.
Actually, I have the figure for the Division 2 Division Agent. It's the 12-inch G.I. Joe figure. Got he's got the whole fucking get up, got the Barrett sniper rifle thing and the Chris Vector submachine gun. Really freaking cool. But yeah, I have that.
Very cool.
The only one that I got of that. That was the last that I know of game that came with extra stuff like that.
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. What is your favorite video game theme song?
Favorite video game theme song? Oh, it's got to be the OG Battlefield. The instrumental music.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking chef's kiss.
What was the OG Battlefield? What was it, 1942?
Yeah.
Okay, 1942. All right. Yeah, Battlefield, this is a whole sidetrack, folks, but Battlefield and me, really weird history with that. I didn't play 1942. My buddy played it, and I watched him play it. And then when Vietnam came out, I started playing that. And then, and I didn't want to correct your brother, but in his episode, he kept mentioning 2142, and I'm like, dude, I don't think you're talking about the same game that you think you're talking about, because 2142 was the one from years ago with the futuristic robots and the exosuits and the
yes.
this and the that yep, and the whatever. Yep. I think what he meant was 2042.
My dad's got a sealed copy of that. My stepmom bought it for him, and he never opened it up and played it because he kept playing Battlefield 2, which was the mm-hmm. predecessor,
yep.
until Battlefield 3 came out.
Yep.
So he like never played it. I played the demo and I liked it. It had like the helicarriers and stuff.
Yeah. That was the only battle besides Vietnam and 2142 with the giant robots in the snow and the this and that. That was the only two Battlefield games I ever played.
I think it was before its time.
Yes.
It was good. I liked it. I just couldn't buy it because I didn't have my own money at the time.
Right.
As a child.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. There's not enough money in the world. There's not enough cutting lawns for getting money in the late 90s, early 2000s, folks. Well,
that's why I played the original Call of Duty from 2003 uh-huh. all the way up until like 2009 when I graduated. Oh, wow. The multiplayer is still active today, believe it or not. You wouldn't think so. All the official servers are shut down, but there's still servers.
Wow. That's awesome. That is amazing. And oh, God, I am so, you graduated high school 15 years ago. I graduated high school 25 years ago. Oh, my God, I'm so old. Oh, God.
It's okay. I'll tell you the same thing I told all the old guys at my job. I'm next.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry, I'm next.
Don't worry, I'm getting my senior citizen card next week. Oh God, how big,
Shawnee? I need some of that prune juice.
That's right. Yeah, my prunes on my feet. Give me the prune juice.
I need to prune them.
How big is your video game collection?
I wish I didn't get rid of all my hard copies, but all them CDs were scratched up anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered if I kept them or not. Mm-hmm. They were not functional. But I do have some hard copies, not a lot, but my entire digital library of games on Steam alone is like 100 games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On Origin, or EA Play, I'm sorry. The EA Play sucks. On EA Play, I've got, I think, 30.
Okay.
On Rockstar's thing, I got, I think, 3 games because I got them for free, and I didn't ever use them.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, I've got maybe 8 or 10. So I would say probably about 150 games.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, they changed it from EA Origin to EA Play. So EAP. No.
Yeah, so EA Play is an app through Windows instead of a program that you download and install like Steam.
Yeah.
And it's so much worse. I mean, you thought Origin was bad. Oh my God, EA Play is like, who thought this was a good idea and needs to get fired?
EA Games, it's not in the game. Not anymore.
EA Games, they challenge themselves.
That's right. That's
they right. don't challenge everything, just themselves.
Just themselves, yeah, exactly. We're not going to challenge our players. We're just going to challenge ourselves, and we're going to fail at those challenges every time. It's like,
and that's how you got Battlefield 2042.
It's like every time EA fails, just send them to the slime pit from Double Dare.
Yes. Get a little splooge on there.
There you go. There you go. What game or games had the biggest impact on your life?
Ooh, you know, I have to say the very first original Call of Duty for sure, because my grandfather got me into that game, and that brings back memories with him and all the fun times we had. So that's a definite number one. Number two would be the Mass Effect trilogy, because the story is so good. The game is so good. You just, you feel like you're Shepard, and you feel like you're like saving the galaxy, and against all odds, you're that hard ass. Imperion is another one, because just the vast exploration of that game is amazing, and the modding community is fantastic with it. And then last but not least, I hate to say it, but I have grown to love Project Zomboid, and the game just makes a lot of sense. And it is, its replayability is fantastic. It's great. And I actually had the creators of one of the mod maps that we used last weekend just join my Discord today, and wanted to say thank you for my for me and Kai, and they got a lot of laughs because they caught our stream.
Nice. So that is,
I'm like, cool. Oh, that is awesome.
Which stream did they catch?
The Witch Lake one. They are the guys that made Witch Lake. And we're like, oh, they were laughing their ass off at it, they said. So I haven't responded to him yet, because I'll do that after this.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
That's awesome, dude. That is so freaking cool. Oh, that Witch Lake video. That Witch Lake video is probably going to get embedded into this podcast post, folks, because everybody needs to watch that. Because Captain Ruggles, he chose poorly.
I chose poorly at the end of that stream. It's about 3 hours.
Yeah,
we chose poorly.
Stamp, yeah.
We wound up in a mall, and we did not want to be in that mall because we knew it was going to be full of zombies. And it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be, but still, normally there's thousands in there, which can be bad if there's just two of you. And God, at the end there, when I opened up the door to that bathroom, I did not expect 12 zombies to be in that bathroom, pull me in, and just have their way with me. It was not a pleasant thing.
And, I feel like that's a euphemism for so many other things with balls and bathrooms and.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I'm like, I don't know why there was 12 zombies in the bathroom, but that was the first time I've ever seen that in that game. And now every time I open up a bathroom door, I got my gun drawn. That's and right. I'm like backing away. I'm like, I'm not walking in there. I open the door and I back up. I'm like, I'm not. Nope. Not again.
Nope. Not again. The only thing that was missing was you were missing a camera on your head.
the trauma.
That's right. The trauma. That's right.
I need to start a new character.
Oh boy, it's funny when he says last but not least, folks. It really was literally we had to twist his arm. He was like, "Project Zomboid, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna stay over here with Imperion and Star whatever the hell Starfield." I'm like, right, okay. You can give Starfield up for Zomboid, and you did, which is great. Because Starfield sucks.
Superior. Yeah. So superior of a game.
And like, I don't know if Kai said it in his episode or not. I don't remember off the top of my head, but we talk about this all the time where it's like Zomboid is easy because, yes, there is somewhat of a story to it. But half the fun of that, at least for me as a viewer, is listening to the crap you guys make up as you're going along killing the zombies.
Well, next time we do a playthrough, we're all going to start in different areas. Different cities, and when we link up, then we'll join each other on Discord.
Oh wow!
So okay, so
adventure in progress.
Yeah, so it'd be an adventure in progress. It'd be like, all right, I'm not alone on this map. There's other survivors out here. You know, we're going to make a whole spectacle of it.
That is so cool. What is the most money you spent on a video game item ever? Video game item could be a print, an art book, or something that isn't an actual video game. Something that isn't a toy collectible, but just something that goes along with a video game.
I hate to say it, but I went on eBay and I bought the collectible The Division watch, mm-hmm. the Agent watch. And it was like $85 I got it, and it's worth more than that now, but
yeah,
it was a cool watch. I liked it.
Very cool, very cool. Do you have a "my parents wouldn't let me play that game" story?
Oh, my parents let me play Call of Duty, but they wouldn't let me play online. And I managed to get Norton Antivirus to allow me to get through the firewall to allow me to play online. And I played online. So when my mom would call me for dinner and she's like, "Pause your game." I'm like, "No problem. I'm just single player anyways." And I'm like, "Shit." That's right. And I'd go back to the main menu and go eat. And then I'd get back on and join another multiplayer server. And she had no idea that I was doing that for years. And then she's like, "You've been doing this whole time." I'm like, "Yeah." "Don't talk to strangers online." I'm like, "I know, I'm not stupid. I don't talk to anybody. I just talk shit to them."
That's right. All right. What is your opinion on the video game reboots? Which ones do you think have been the most successful?
I've not really been a fan of a lot of the reboots. I don't know if it's nostalgia, but I prefer the originals. Like Modern Warfare series, the original was so much better. And they did it better too. And it was emotional. It was climatic. It was well rounded. It had everything. The new one, it felt rushed. It felt like it was copying other stuff, and it wasn't following what the original was. And it just wasn't the same. But that's an example, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not really a fan of redos. If they want to remaster an old one and update the graphics and stuff, but and not change a fucking thing about it, and just make it look nicer, I'm all for that. If they took the original Call of Duty, updated it to today's standards, and made it look like realistic, I would totally buy that.
Yeah.
But don't go changing the original story and all this other stuff. That has some good comedy in it, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Captain Foley was actually the voice of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, okay, very cool. Yeah, I've never watched
Cowboy
Bebop, but I think
you know the voice actor for that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
you guys have interviewed him.
Oh, Steve Bloom.
Yeah. Steve Bloom. He does the voice for Captain Foley in the original Call of Duty.
Oh, very cool, very cool.
And Sergeant Waters is voiced by Jason Statham.
Oh, very awesome.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that is very cool. Yeah, I understand the video game companies want to make money, and I understand that they want to, like you said, remastering is different than rebooting. Remastering, like you already said, is, you know, taking it and updating it to today's standards, fine, whatever, and you don't change anything about the story. Like, these game companies don't need reboots of the stuff. Like, Call of Duty, keep going. Mass Effect, if you're going to keep going with either male Shep or femme Shep, keep going with those characters. Create a new story for those characters to drop into. You don't need video game reboots and video... No.
I'd have to say... Mass Effect did it right when they remastered theirs. They changed nothing about it. Mm-hmm. It was the exact same game. They updated everything. It was smoother. All them little issues that they never resolved were resolved. It was great. That's great. EA also did another good one. The original Command & Conquer Red Alert.
Mm-hmm.
When they remastered that one, released it on Steam. Perfect. Perfection. It was the exact same game. It just looked really good.
Yeah.
And I bought that shit. For that reason alone, it was the exact same game I remember playing as a child, and it just looked nice. And I'll buy that.
Yeah. I'll buy that for a dollar.
I think I got it for like $5.
Okay, well, yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
It wasn't bad. It was on sale.
Yeah. Which video game series from the past would you most want to see more of, whether it be reboot, live action movie, or any other form of media? So basically, this is like, the way I explain this to people is Super Mario Bros. 3. If they hadn't jumped to Super Nintendo with Super Mario World, which technically, I guess, is called Super Mario Bros. 4 too, but whatever. But if there was another Mario game on the NES, so that's how I kind of explain this one.
You know, I wish they would have made a sequel to Command & Conquer Generals. That was one of the best strategy games that they ever made, in my opinion. EA, that was the last good one they made. All their newer ones, even Red Alert 3, garbage.
Yeah. It's funny with the Command & Conquer series. The only one I ever played was Renegade, I think. Yeah, that's what it is.
I liked Renegade. It was an interesting concept, and I think they could have gone somewhere with it had they put more effort.
Yeah. What is your opinion of the video game Sidekick? And I want to preface this for the listeners. Yes, we know technically some of these are going to be mainline characters for the most part, but they're just examples. Luigi, Tails, Clank, etc. Love them, hate them, don't care either way.
Yes, Sidekick characters matter. Like in Call of Duty, you had Soap McTavish. He was an integral part of, you know, the SAS team. And when they had his death in the original Modern Warfare 3, it meant more. It's like you're losing part of the game there. So everybody felt that. You could see it being felt by the main character, Captain Price, because you were no longer playing Price or Soap McTavish. You were playing some other guy, Yuri, and you're watching it from the outside looking in. These are two characters you played in the last two games. One of them's dead now. So that type of shit, you know, they matter.
Yep, of course. In your opinion, which decade represents the golden era of video games and why? 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, or today in the 2020s?
I would have to say the early 2000s, because that's when everything started to kind of take off with experimentation and people were taking risks on new franchises and breathing new life into old franchises with new technology and new ways of playing it. So, yeah, like I use Call of Duty as another example. The predecessor to that was Medal of Honor. And in like 1999, they had like Medal of Honor Allied Assault, I believe. I think it was around there, 99, 2000. When 2003 rolled around, the original team from that broke off from EA, joined Activision, and they made Call of Duty. And they updated it. That was one of the first games where you could aim down the sight of your weapon. Actually use the iron sights. Before, it used to just bring the screen closer, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And in this game, they revolutionized shooters where you could actually aim down the sight and like follow targets and pop them off. And even the expansion pack to that went a little further in 2004, where you had tanks and jeeps in multiplayer, piggybacking off of Battlefield 1942, but with the newer way of doing things. And then you had deployable machine guns. You could like put them in the window with the bipod. You actually have usable bipods and stuff way back then. And that's where all that started.
Very cool. Very cool. As gaming has evolved, what has been your greatest likes and dislikes in the video game industry?
My greatest likes is the independent developers have been more bold and brazen with their releases, and it's been paying off. What I dislike is all the monetization, battle passes, and all this other bullshit, and now they're going to add ads into games. I might as well not even play it. They're getting so money hungry. It's like, just focus on the damn game. I don't give a shit about your ads. If you throw your ads at me in the game, I'm not going to buy your product.
Yeah, I will.
You know?
Yeah. That's why for me personally, I'm a single player gamer. I am like GTA 4ing since 2006. Need for Speed, whichever. Most Wanted, 2005, whatever. I'm a very single player game, and I can do multiplayer, but I hate the fact that you have, for single player sometimes now, you have to rely on being online and active. That's what I miss about classic console gaming. Like, I don't have to worry about my saves on my Super Nintendo Classic in my bedroom right now on Super Mario World going anywhere because it's local to the system.
Yes.
But it's a trade-off to have the interaction and the camaraderie and the fun that everybody has with the streaming and all that. So,
well, I mean, a lot of the single players now are starting to get tied to the internet. So you can't even play it on your own computer anymore without internet, which is stupid.
If you like, it would be different if you were like streaming the game through Steam. Like, Steam is essentially the Netflix of gaming, essentially. But like, if you, instead of downloading it off of Steam onto your computer, you just stream it through that, through their app or their website or whatever. You know, that would be, I understand why internet would be, but like, if you're downloading it and starting the whole thing, you shouldn't need an internet connection to save locally to your
There was a game that came out earlier this year that Kai and I were going to play that happened to you could play by yourself, but you had to have an internet connection. And it's like, what? And now that game's like falling off the face of the earth. You know, I even forgot the name of it.
I was gonna say,
I know what game it is, but I don't remember the name of it.
That's right. I can tell you everything about it except the name. The name is escaping me at this moment.
I got to play an early access copy of it, and I'm like, this is garbage. The fuck is this shit?
It's just crazy. Some people view video games as something for quote-unquote children and don't view gaming as a serious form of media that adults should consume. Who should video games be made for, in your opinion?
Honestly, video games should be made for everybody. Even when I was, like, under 10 years old, they had games for that age range. Just you have to make sure you buy the right game for the right age.
That's right.
Be a parent, you know? We had, there was a game... There's an educational game set that was like K through 12, and you'd install it on the on your Windows 95 computer and you know, Windows 98 and load it up and play it. And you'd play the game, but you would learn at the same time, do math, reading, and a bunch of other stuff. And it was good for that age group. And then as you progress, you get into other stuff, right? Yep. For your age group. That's why we have ratings. But it just seems like TV 14 now is like the old rated R. And rated R is like NC-17. NC-17 is like, you know, soft core. It's like everything's gone back. It's so weird. I don't understand it. We have ratings for reasons. Let's use it. Like, I've actually played games before I've let like my 13-year-old play just to make sure it is what it is. And then I'm like, all right, yeah, you can play this.
Yeah. But you're a responsible parent. There are some parents in the previous generation and this generation that'll just sit their kid down in the middle of a video game and say, here, here's the controller. Go away, kid. You bother me. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to
remember. Like I spend a ridiculous amount of time on video games. But it doesn't go without saying that I do not neglect my parenting responsibilities. I was just making a point that I make sure that my I know what my kids are doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why they can't wear headphones, right? So you got to know what you're listening to. So if I don't like what you're listening to, because kids are going to be kids, they're going to do what they're going to do. But you still, if you can't keep an eye on them 24/7. You'll never get any sleep. You'll never be able to work.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to let them make mistakes at the same time. but they have to learn from those mistakes. And when things come up, you gotta be like, no, you can't watch that. Mm-hmm. Why not? Well, because it's not appropriate for your age.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You can watch it when you get older, when you're age appropriate, yeah. And when you understand why Andrew Dice Clay is doing this thing to Terry Hatcher in this 1992 film that probably nobody besides me even remembers. Brain Smasher, a love story. Gotta love it.
Yeah. it's like when YouTube Kids Shorts pops up with some South Park. And the moment I hear Cartman's voice, I yell out, change that now. Yep. What? But no, change it. No buts. Change it. We're not. No.
Knock off all that tree hugging hippie crap.
Yeah. 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 Like that. That's not for you.
Yeah. That's not for you. Not at all.
I mean, and the platform does with it what it can, but you mm-hmm. still have to.
You still have to
watch out. People sneak shit in.
Yep.
And people are assholes.
Yeah. Very true. And the funny thing is like everybody was like back in the day, oh my God, hot coffee. Your child wouldn't have seen hot coffee if you, as the parent, hadn't bought that mature rated video game. You know what I mean? like the seven-year-old Johnny is not going into GameStop saying, excuse me, Mr. Game & Play, can I have Grand Theft Auto, where was the hot coffee? Was it in San Andreas? Whichever one
it was. Yeah, it was San Andreas. San Andreas. I believe it was a hot coffee mod.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, excuse me, Mr. Game & Play, can I have San Andreas? Kid, you're not old enough to tie your shoes, let alone have that game. Like, that's what a responsible employee would say, but the irresponsible ones, which, whatever. I don't know. It's all about.
Well, that's why that game sold so well. People wanted to exploit that mod and shit.
Yep. I think the best mod I ever saw in a Grand Theft Auto game was they modded Kit from Knight Rider into it as one of the cars.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, let's see if I can find that. Oh, that was hilarious. All right, folks, we are now entering the Gamer Fantasy Funland. If you could own any vehicle featured in a video game, which would it be?
Oh, shit. I want the Normandy. Mass Effect. That's such a badass ship.
Yeah, there you go. If you could live in any video game world that you wanted, where would you live?
Probably, I don't know, I would say Halo, but man, there's a big chance of dying with that. Same with Mass Effect. So, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to live in any of them.
Who would be your top three gamer pals to join you and become a barbershop quartet? Examples, but not limited to Mario, Sonic, FemShep, Solid Snake, etc.
Oh, that would be Kai, Brad, and I gotta have Stone. He's my favorite redneck.
You know what?
Plus, you know, when I'm running away from something, I need someone as a decoy to get fed to the wolves.
I thought that was Diane's job. Look out, there's a helicopter.
Yeah, that's true. Diane too. She's fun to play with.
Okay, so I have to preface this just in case any of the wives, girlfriends, or anybody else is listening. You're not married, whatever. If you could date any video game character, which one would it be?
Miranda Lawson.
Which game is she from?
Oh, that's from Mass Effect too.
Okay. Very cool, very cool. What is the holy grail of video game artifacts? Examples are the Fire Flower, Mega Buster, Samus's gun, Shep's whatever main weapon Shepard has, etc.
Probably the BFG from Doom.
That is, wow, yeah, damn. That gun, holy crap, that good old gun. All right, folks, we are now exiting the Gamer Fantasy Funland. Final question. What is one piece of advice you'd give to the video game fandom in general?
If your favorite developers are not living up to their standards, hold them accountable and don't buy their stuff. until they start to make things the way they used to make them, with heart, with soul, with a good story, good co-op or multiplayer, forget about it. Stick to the good stuff, the old stuff.
There you go. There you go. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We're going to go to a quick podcast ad break and hear some podcast ads from other podcasts that we promote here at the Geekcast Radio Network, and we'll come back to close the show right after this. Oh, yeah, and at the end, right before I come back, you will hear the Chaos Queen tell you how you can be on the Gamer Origins here inside Studio 2009. We'll be right back.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe, from the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Yes, also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about The New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon, I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors. Come out to play, yay!
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man, and the Masters of the Universe!
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Would you like to be on the Origins episodes here at Studio 2009? Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. with the subject line, Gamer Origins Guest Spot. You must have 1 year or more of podcast experience, have a good mic, and be on Skype or Discord.
Edit point.
We are... All right, we are back here inside Studio 2009. Any final words from you, sir? And please, promote yourself.
Oh, definitely. If you're looking for some fun shenanigans and just a bunch of tomfoolery with a bunch of idiots who play video games, live stream, or just regular uploaded videos, come over to Captain Reckles Gaming over here on the YouTube. And you can also follow me on Twitter at KMP1991. And I also am on Facebook Gaming, but not quite as active on there, but mainly YouTube and Twitter. Or as they call it, X. I still call it Twitter. It's still Twitter. X just doesn't sound right. Sounds like an X-rated website. Nasty. But yes, come visit me. I would love to hear from you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny because when they changed the name, I was like, oh, okay. Normally, when I go through the closing, which I'll go through here in a minute, part of the thing is follow us on Twitter, and I list all the names of the network and the podcast, whichever podcast it is, myself, and then I will say, what are your Twitter names or what are your this? Well, when the moron changed the name to a letter, I'm like, I am at TFG and Mike. Are you on X? Like, that just doesn't sound... No, like, it's not... It's
like, it doesn't might as well say, are you on Pornhub.com?
Exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
What? Like, no.
All right, gamers, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content, as well as checking out all of the video geeks and gamer geeks we have over there. We link back to Captain Ruggles stuff, as well as Kai Dragon Media and more. You can send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcasting clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network and at It's Studio 2009 for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 over there as well. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Studio 2009. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Mandalorian Season 2 as we continue the 12 months of Star Wars with myself and David Draper. So for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Captain Ruggles Gaming.
Thank you for listening, and you'll hear us back in the studio soon.